Once you answer that question, it determines what you feed on. We always win. We have already won. We are appropriating our victory. And that's what I'm asking. Who are you? Are you a survivor or a savior? We have entered the age of the governing church. A church that feeds on the diet of saviors. Our native weapon is prayer. Up there with fasting. When your post is too small, the scriptural accredited response is a fight. Commands in the discharge of official duties. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, faithfulness is not something you easily find on the street. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, he says, a faithful man who can find. So it's not something that is common. You can't say, well, faithful. Faithfulness is common. No, it's not common. The Bible says, a faithful man who can find. That means it's something you have to learn, and it's something that would demand effort. Glory to God. He says, a faithful man who can find. So it's not just on the street. Neither is faithfulness just a walk in the park. And I have learned that God rewards and honors faithfulness. In Proverbs 28 verse 20, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Put it up for me. Proverbs 28, 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Let's look at this particular scripture. What does it tell you? That means faithfulness comes with patience. Faithfulness comes with doing things the right way. Open your Bible. St. Luke's Gospel chapter 16, verse 10 to 12. God honors faithfulness. God honors is steadfast in allegiance. Another word for that is loyalty. Another word for that is devotion. Commitment. Is it up now? All right. He said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in your righteous mammon. Mammon is talking about money, literally. Who will commit to your hands, to your trust, the true riches? That's the second layer. Number three. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Hallelujah. Look up at me. I have noticed that God will use these three things to test a man's level of faithfulness. And after you pass your test at different levels of these three things, there's always promotion, there's always increase, there's always God bringing you to the mega. Of course, the mega is in level. Are you with me? So it talks about faithfulness in that which is little, then faithfulness with money, then faithfulness in that which is another man. So these are the three levels of faithfulness that Jesus talked about. These levels of allegiance, steadfastness in allegiance, commitment, devotion, this constancy, this character of being trusted, this character of being reliable. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So faithfulness in that which is little, faithfulness with money, and faithfulness in that which is another man's. Oh, hallelujah. And just to point out something in the verses of scripture that we read, he's telling you that money is the least. Amen. Because if you looked at it closely, that little there in this context is talking about money. Hallelujah. He's saying money is the least. And if you can be faithful with money, you can trade it for the true riches. Hallelujah. So, how steadfast are you in allegiance? How reliable are you? With little. Lord, we'll read scriptures, you'll be blessed. How committed are you with the things that are committed to your hands? Listen, I have never seen this ministry as a small local ministry. Never. From the beginning. Never. I'd always seen the ministry, even while we're less than 20, that look, this is something going global. I sacrificed MBBS to pastor full time when we're less than 70 members. Why? I was committed to the call of God. I was faithful to God's voice, faithful to his call, even when it didn't look like it. So are you steadfast in allegiance? Allegiance to God's word. Allegiance to God's vision. Allegiance to the vision of your local church. Or are you vacillating and unstable? There are Christians who give tithe today, dodge tithe for 3 months, resume after 6 months. There's no steadfast in allegiance. No steadfastness in allegiance. No consistency. One of the definitions of faithfulness also means consistency. You started preaching Christ, his love, God's grace, love, and mercy. Then suddenly you switch to prophetic mysteries. Then now you are teaching relationship and marriage. No steadfastness in allegiance to what God has called the person to do. Maybe because they felt relationship is selling now. Have you seen young preachers like that? They jump from place to place to place to place until they lose their inheritance. No steadfastness in allegiance. In 1 year, you have done 6 businesses. You have moved. Not that you're doing them at once. So you have moved from here to here to here because you are not patient. Listen, those who are successful have the habit of sticking to things until they work. That means you will learn to stick to God's word, stick to God's instruction, stick to God's leading until he produces. Don't take the easy way out. How can a Christian be in his 6th church within 2 years? You see, there are times when I see people leave church, I know they are going to leave that place they are going to. I know, I can tell. I can tell. Because a lot of times it's about the internal squabbles. Usher speaks to them anyhow, they have moved. A pastor looks at them somehow, they have moved. Somebody said she left church because she was depressed and nobody knew. I said, we are the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Did you tell anybody no? See, they should have known. Remarkable. And I told those who were with me, I said, that person, that church, you, the next church you go to, she will live there in less than 1 year. And it happened. They don't understand steadfastness in allegiance. That means you learn to stick to things because God said so. You learn to stick to things until the work. You learn to have a disposition of going the extra mile, of going the long haul. Are you with me, somebody? That is faithfulness. That is faithfulness. Glory to God forevermore. A young man starts church. God leads him to start a local church. Because people are not coming, he turns it to evening fellowship. Then starts meeting once in 1 month. Until he loses his ministry. No faithfulness. Glory to God. No steadfastness of allegiance. No grit. No commitment. No consistency. Anyone who has known me for the last 20 years can tell you, if at the last 10 years, they can tell you something, that we have been consistent with our message, our method, the things that God has told us to do. Listen, when we started the local church, it was not popular for a pastor in the north to start a local church. What was reigning was Apostolic Center and Prophetic Center. Go and do your research. In fact, I was criticized by some people. They were supposed to say the days of the local church are over. God is no longer doing local church. Yes, we heard those things. Are you with me? But we were committed to what God has told us. It didn't matter what people were saying. It didn't matter the rumors they were carrying around. It didn't matter whether they believed we were called or not. We stuck to what God has said. Faithfulness. Steadfastness of allegiance. And this generation needs this. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. You see, like I told you, the concept of faithfulness is building character in you. The character of staying, the character of valuing the things that matter. He's building character. That's what God is after. And truly God honors it. He says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. God honors faithfulness. All right, so we say faithfulness in little, faithfulness with money, and faithfulness in that which belongs to another. So let's start with faithfulness with little. Listen, I can tell a man's character and the outcome of a person by observing how he handles the little things. I can. By observing their attitude to little things. By observing their disposition to the things that look insignificant now. I can tell. It's a revelation of the person's character. Look at Jesus. He wanted to feed 5,000. All he had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. What did Philip say to Philip? He said, what is this among so many? And this is the attitude of many people today. What is this among so many? I've been pastoring these 5 years now. Only 10 people are coming. What is this among so many? If you are not faithful with 10, the 100 will not come. If you are not faithful with 100, the 1,000 will not come. Are you with me? What did Jesus do? He lifted the 5 loaves and 2 fish in thanksgiving. That's a faithful man. Sisters, especially for those of you that are single, beware of those with big dreams. They are talking and talking with big briefcase, but are not patient and prudent enough to handle the little things. I'm starting an airline. I'm meeting with Vessel. He's been talking like that for 3 years. You are dating him. You are borrowing him money. He has big dreams. He cannot make 50,000. He's having proposal, having meeting with investors. Investors. He said, we're going to have fleet of airlines. He's real estate. Real estate, you can't start building real estate. Have you started selling properties? Are you selling land? Are you renting houses out to collect commission of 100,000? How is he managing the little? And I've met someone like that. I've met at least two in my young life. And talking big. But when you look at how they handle the little, you know they are not wise. You know they don't understand the kingdom. Listen, the kingdom of God operates by the seed principle. That means you can never have fruit without seed. If you despise the seed, you are not ready for the trees and the fruits. You are not ready. Because listen, you learn wisdom at the seed level. Somebody said you don't really learn so much wisdom in surplus and abundance. And when you're on stage, the wisdom you learn in obscurity. You learn when you are not known. You learn when what you have is little. Can I get an amen, somebody? I can tell. Look at David. We'll be studying David extensively in this part. Look at David, the king of Israel. He so valued the little flock that he put his life on the line for it. The Bible said he ran after the lion and the bear. Who took a lamb? What is a lamb? A little sheep. And when God saw that this guy could stake his life for these few flocks, he can lead my people Israel. Oh, and God was watching. Hallelujah. Did you know that David, even after he was anointed as king and got the job to work in the palace, when he returned, he went back to taking care of the little flock in the wilderness. Value for little. Faithfulness in little. That your car, how are you handling it? So, you know, when the SUVs come, I will maintain them. Nalayo. That little income, how are you managing it? You say, is this money? This money for Suya. Let's go and eat Suya. You know, when I get to the second part, I'll talk about faithfulness with money. Let me not go ahead of myself. God's vision, listen, God's vision was for David to become the leader of Israel. But God could not trust him to lead Israel if he couldn't trust him to lead the little flock. That means the test began with his leadership of the few flock. When God saw his commitment, his faithfulness to leading the little flock, to leading the few sheep, he saw that, look, this man, listen, with God, faithfulness in little equals faithfulness in much. He doesn't see the difference. We'll read the scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God saw him risking his life for the little lamb. He knew David could put his life and reputation on the line for Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll read verse 15. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Hallelujah. If God can trust you with 30, he can trust you with 300. If he can trust you with 300, he can trust you with 3,000. That's in people now. If God can trust you with 1 million, he can trust you with 10 million. There are people in church, I know they are not here, not in this church. If 1 million comes to the account, they'll not come to church. They'll not go to church again. After the money finishes, they will return like the prodigal son. God can do much with that kind of person. And let me just add this. You see, part of your faithfulness will lead to is how you distribute what comes to your hand. Yes. Don't wait until the big breaks before you tithe, before you give, before you give to God and give to the anointed. Don't wait. And always be clear. And this goes to you business people. You see, there are times when you talk to people, you have to be diplomatic. There are times people complain about loss of money. Not all the time. Okay. You see, but when it's repeated, watch your practices. This concept of when... See, anytime money comes to you, know what belongs to God. Don't roll it over into investment without removing what belongs to God. Many Christians do that. You did a job, 5 million came. That's okay. I will multiply it and give to God. God, you know my heart. You know, I can't even give you the whole thing. But there's this opportunity. Let me multiply it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You open your finances up for Satan to control and influence. Always at every time, team, what has come, your test of faithfulness is in what is at hand. What belongs to God, remove it and give it to him. First, the tithe. But it is even beyond tithe. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Verse 15. He said, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now, I want to spare us of reading the whole place, and this is where I'm jumping. Now, where was David at this point? He had been anointed as king. Think about it. They came to your house and they announced you as the next president of Nigeria. And to make it interesting, from nowhere, the president sent for you. Now, he did not know that you were anointed to be the president of the country. So things happened and they needed help and they sent for you. That's confirmation. You're in Aso Rock. I mean, chilling with the big boys. Amen. Knowing that, look, this throne belongs to you. And then your king traveled. And it's okay, guys, you can travel back to your... you can come back to your house. Then you return to Jos. And then you return to church to clean the chairs. What you were doing before you went to Aso Rock. That was what David did. And let me tell you, God saw it. God saw it. If David were some Christians, his father would look for him in the hotel first. Say, Dad, I'm back to town. Dad, with my new level, I can't stay in that house anymore. I'm working on building a new house for you all. But you can visit me at Valada. I'm in the presidential suit. Amen. David went back and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. What a man. Listen, to a great person, listen, greatness can be recognized at every level. In Yoruba, they used to say, a child will be called Sam in the evening, was that doing shamu shamu in the morning. That means at whatever level a person is, you can detect, you can identify greatness. And listen, the orientation of greatness is service. The disposition of greatness is service. A great person will know that, look, in the kingdom, there are no inferior roles. What God has committed to my hand is valuable. No matter how little, how despised, I'm going to do it. And I'll have joy doing it. That's a great person. He returned. Verse 15. He returned to take care of the few flock. And God saw it. We're talking about faithfulness in little. Verse 20. Give me verse 20. Same 17. Look at this. There was war. There was battle with the Philistines. So his father sent him to carry food for his brothers. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, responsibility, and took and went as Jesse commanded him. And he kept trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. He didn't leave how many sheep? Few. We'll see he shot it, that they were really few. But he left it in the hands of a keeper. That's responsibility. Somebody say responsibility. It's part of faithfulness. You take responsibility. You take responsibility. You don't say, "Kai, this business self is not even as productive as I thought. I beg. Let somebody rest." You take responsibility. You can identify the value in little things. You see, this is why associated ministries who were there from the beginning get honored when ministries and organizations go global, because they had the ability to see something huge in something so little, in something that, and it takes wisdom. Listen, a wise man can see the sculpture, can see the art in a stone. Was it Michelangelo, right? He can see the art in the stone. They can see the treasure in the trash. Hallelujah. That means a wise lady can count a guy's star even when he doesn't have anything physically. And then you make him eternally loyal to you. It's just automatic. Can I get an amen? Somebody just received Rema. I'm hearing the It's heavy. Better go and make money. Hey, don't be video. Move your life forward fast. So I don't miss God's will for your life. She can trek one day and just be angry. Amen. I didn't say that. All right. Verse 28. Read a lot of scriptures. Verse 28. First Samuel scripture. Psalm 17:28. It says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why comest thou hither? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I wanted to show you that there were few, but it didn't matter to David." Hallelujah. Jump to 32 now. Jump to 32. Look at his attitude with the few. He could defend it. Hallelujah. Verse 32. "Now, when he has spoken so roughly, and he sounded braggadocious, right? They took him to Saul. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail him because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." We're reading to 37. Keep going. 33. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." 34. "And David said to Saul, Your servant kept his father's sheep, the few sheep." There were few. "And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Just a lamb. Oh, just a lamb. "And David said unto Saul," the next verse, 35, "And I went after him and smote him then delivered it out of his mouth. What? I mean, the lion took a lamb, and this young shepherd boy went after the lion to show you his heart for this sheep. This is a revelation of David's heart, and this is what I want you to see. Why should a man risk his life? No, think about it. If it was you, we'll be honest. I know you are faithful, but think about it. A little lamb, you saw lion, you have a little farm behind, you have some goats and sheep. Then a little lamb came, you saw a lion taking a goat and going away. Is Thanksgiving you give now? You say, Pastor, God delivered us. So a lion. At least it's one. Praise the Lord. He's one. But see, David exemplified the character of God. You know, God is a faithful God. He didn't save us because we were many. He can leave the 99 to go after the one. God is individualistic. Are you with me? This is what David was exemplifying here. Yes. He went after the lion. He says, I went after the lion. I smote the lion. I smote it out of his mouth. And when he arose against him, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. This is not ordinary. That means a faithful person is empowered for supernatural accomplishment. Are you with me? Supernatural accomplishment. I caught him by the bed, smote him and slew him. 36. He said, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. Watch this. That means when David was risking his life to deliver a lamb out of the hand, out of the mouth of the lion and the bear, what was he doing? He was training to bring in down the Goliath, the giant that intimidated an entire nation. That means your faithfulness in little is a preparation for the big stage. Oh, I'm not feeling you guys this morning. It's preparation for the big face. Nobody knows you, but you are doing all the research for that business. You are optimizing. I mean, you are bringing in global practices, industry standard. Nobody knows you. You are burning the midnight candles. You are going the extra mile, training your staff. And some people are like, what is your turnover like? It's just 200,000. Why so much effort? You are being faithful. You are being faithful. You are killing your lion and bear. One day you will stand before Goliath. And from that singular act, listen, David did not need to go through the procedure. He became second lieutenant, then major, captain, then major, then lieutenant colonel, then colonel. No. One day he became a general. But his preparation took years. Are you with me? I told you, faithfulness prepares you for the mega. Faithfulness. How faithful are you at your current level? Are you steadfast in allegiance? How faithful are you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Psalm 78, 7 to 72 shows us. Let's read it. We'll read the scriptures today. You know, that was what was going to my mind when I was coming today. I said, we'll read scriptures today. Psalm 78. Hallelujah. Psalm 78. Is he up? He chose David also, his servant. It was service that made David the preferred one. And took him from the sheepfold. The sheepfold was his days of preparation. He was faithful with little. He demonstrated his character and built his capacity with the little. Next verse. 71. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He learned the integrity of heart and the skillfulness of hands By following the few flock. By faithfulness in nurturing the few flock. That's where he learnt it from. That's where he learnt it from. And that positioned him, prepared and positioned him to be the leader over God's people. You must pass your faithfulness test. It's compulsory. It's compulsory. He developed that while he was faithful with little. So we see that God's vision was for David to be the king of Israel. But you see, he couldn't trust him with the throne until he could trust him with a few flock. Again, God's vision was for David's throne to be an everlasting throne. Meaning, in Psalms you already say, for his throne shall be his days, the days of his throne shall be like the days of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. So God had planned for David to have an everlasting dynasty. Meaning through that throne, a Messiah, which is the anointed one, and his anointed should come. But God had to test him to see how he would defend the institution of the anointing through the person of Saul. Hope you got that second part. Yes, that was God testing David's commitment, his faithfulness with the anointing. How does he value their? You know what Messiah means? It means the anointed one and his anointed. He's going to come through your lineage. He's going to sit upon your throne. What do you know about the anointed? Are you going to defend the anointed? Beyond face, beyond favor, beyond convenience, are you going to defend the anointed? If you defend the institution of the anointed, then the anointed one will come from your lineage. And he was tested. King Saul was his test. He was his test. And he passed the test. Oh yes, he did. Let's read scriptures now. 2 Samuel chapter 26. We'll start from verse 6. 2 Samuel 26 from verse 6. He passed the test of faithfulness to the anointing. He did. He passed the test. Listen, Saul was rejected by God. Saul had an evil spirit disturbing him. Saul was after David's life. Three different things. Maybe you didn't hear it. For most people, the day you hear that God has rejected a person, all of the honor leaves you. The day you hear that this anointed man is being tormented by evil spirits, no more honor. The day you hear that he's plotting not to take you out of your office position, to kill you. I would to God we're learning. I mean, he's planning to kill you. Yet, you have so trained your mind not to diminish in your mind the honor that God has placed upon the anointing upon him. Because what makes Saul is the anointing of God upon his life. God's investment upon his life. And that anointing has eternally changed David's disposition towards Saul. Let's read scriptures now. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. 1 Samuel 26, 6 to 23. 1 Samuel 26, not 20. 26. Are you blessed? Oh, glory. He said, then answer David and say to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. Verse 7 is a long read, so just keep it going. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck to the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered an enemy into your hands this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the head at once. He said, I won't do it twice. I'll do it twice. Just once. You see, I've taught you again and again that you don't live life by good and evil, right and wrong. You live life by the righteousness of God. That means there are times the righteousness of God may not appeal to human standard of good and bad. You see, if you measure this by human standard, by human wisdom, by human operation, it had every right to take the life of Saul. But you see, that is not consistent with the righteousness of God. Remember, we're talking about how that David was found faithful in the way he handled the anointed. Remember, I said faithfulness is what? Steadfastness in allegiance. Thank you. Put a scripture up. Steadfastness in allegiance. Steadfastness in allegiance. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not. No, go to verse 8. Okay, I will not do it a second time. Verse 9. Look at the man David. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and go guiltless? Ah, this tutor generation have not seen this verse. He said, who can stretch his hand against God's anointed? Listen, that this is why I explained the state of Saul at this time. God had left him, and God had rejected him, and evil spirit from the Lord was tormenting him, and he was after the man David. But look at David's mindset, a revelation of his understanding. He said, who can touch the Lord's anointed and go guiltless? Put a scripture up. And go guiltless. Every time, listen, nobody touches the anointed and goes guiltless. None. You touch with your mouth, your pen, your money, your hands, you can never go guiltless. Never. Why is an institution? Have you noticed that David understood that, look, this was beyond Saul. This is about something that God has instituted. This is beyond Saul. Is this church with me?
Yes, sir.
Verse 10. And David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die. He shall descend into the battle and maybe perish. Amen. You're just speaking. And he said, the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hands against the Lord's anointed. We're talking about faithfulness, don't forget. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is in a bolster and cruse of water, and let us go. Verse 12. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster. That's bolster. And they took them away, and no man saw it, or knew it, neither awakened, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was falling upon them. It was God who did it to test David. It was God who did it to test David. Can I say this? Sometimes God will expose the anointed to test you. I won't say expose. I'm not saying he did something bad, amen, or she did something bad. I'm talking about it could be in the area of a need. You mean this person does not know this, or this person does not have this? Is to test your faithfulness, your steadfastness in allegiance. You want your house to be a house of the anointing. God will test how you handle the anointed. God will test how will you be able to cover. God will set you up. It's compulsory. Oh yes, it must happen. The anointed can even snore like this. Ah, now wow. This anointed man of God that is preaching to us, you see the way he's eating. Ah, no etiquette, self. You are failing your test. You are failing your test. Are you with me? God set him up. He said, so David took the spear, for the Lord had made his sleep. Verse 13. Are you learning something? He said, then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of an hill afar off, a great space being between them. You can see the anointed in a challenge. It doesn't mean he doesn't have faith. Oh yes, it doesn't mean.
He doesn't mean. So don't be a child that think, he's healing the sick. How come this one is happening to him? He's prospering the poor and he's looking for 200,000. Are you sure you can give us? You know, you can't give all you don't have. You're a child. You've not read the Bible. Paul says, as Paul, making many rich. That means for the anointed, what is upon you is for others. I don't have time to go into all that. Babalawo in the bush is making people win election. He has not changed his clothes in 3 months. Be arguing. Listen, you don't have any business relating with the pastor because of the size of his car. You are to sense, like the Shunammite woman. The Bible says she perceived that this is a holy man of God. He had nothing what Elisha had on the outside. He perceived. Once you perceive, start making investment into that anointing. It will pay you. We see a generation that is moved. What kind of jeep brought the man of God? What kind of, let me see if you can handle my case. No, you are carnal. You are carnal. You are carnal. Are you with me? No, I'm serious. And I know God is talking to people. Put a scripture up. Faithfulness in little. While talking about David, so we stumbled here. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not Abner? Then Abner said unto him, who art thou that criest unto the king? Next verse. David was a lovely man. You know, when Abner was killed, David was angry with his associate that killed Abner. You know, there are people who are zealous for you when you're in authority. Do you know, David lamented for Abner. He said, Abner died like a fool dieth. He said, you died like your hands were tied, like you were not anointed with oil. Oh, who get there? He said unto Abner, he said, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like unto thee in Israel? Whereof then hast thou not kept thy law the king? Why have you not kept your law? Give me a newer translation, maybe New King James or something. All this dow, I'm tired. New King James, thank you. I'm tired. So David said to Abner, are you not a man? Who is like unto you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. Next verse. He said, this thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die because you have not guarded your master, the Lord's anointed. He's emphasizing it. And now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was on his head. Next verse. Then Saul knew is David's voice and said, is that your voice, my son David? And David said, is my voice, my lord, O king? His honor for Saul did not diminish. He did not diminish. He did not. Next verse. Ty. Listen, train your eyes never to see the errors of the anointed. Train your eyes to protect the institution of the anointing. And he said, why does my Lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done? What evil is in my hand? Next verse. Just continue. Now therefore, please let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept my offering. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed with the Lord, for they have driven me out of this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Next verse. So now do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come up to seek a flea. Yeah, as when one hunts a partridge on the mountains. Continue. We're into 23. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son, as though he has repented. For I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your sight. Indeed, in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. Verse 22. And David answered and said, here is the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and get it. He said, may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and for his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I will not stretch out my hands against the Lord's anointed. 2 Samuel chapter 1. We'll read 11 to 23. 11 to 23. Glory to God. Whatever we can glean from here, we can stop. We can. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel, not 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Are you learning something? All right. Now, this was what David did when he heard that Saul was dead. Okay? Then David took a hold of his clothes and tore them. And so did all the men who were with him. Now they had learned. They had learned to honor God's anointed. And David mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Then David said to the young man who told him, he said, where are you from? You know, the question was not to find out his village. You know, the way you ask someone who misbehaves, where are you from? Meaning, who trained you? How come you do not know these basic things? He said, where are you from? And he answered, I'm the son of an Eliam, the Amalekite. Next verse. And so David said unto him, how was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Then David called one of the young men and said, go near, execute him. And he struck him to the ground and died. He said, fall on him. The King James said, fall on him. So David said unto him, your blood is on your head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointed. And David lamented this with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Oh dear. And he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Jasher. This is a man who was after his life. When he died, because of his honor for the anointing, he lamented. He sung a lamentation and said, teach the children. He said, the beauty of Israel is slain. Ah, the beauty of Israel is slain on the high places. Oh my goodness, the beauty. You know why? The anointing was upon Saul. And wherever you have the anointing, that's where the beauty of the Lord is. He said, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty falling? How are the mighty falling? How are the mighty? How could David still see beauty on Saul? He was a faithful man. He was a faithful man. I was listening to Lester Sumrall recently, and he said, he was with Smith Wigglesworth, the British apostle, evangelist. He said, for a while, visited him. Okay. And he said, he had never heard Wigglesworth speak anything negative against any human. You know, when I heard it, tears almost started coming out of my eyes. You see, he said he had never, that you can't catch Smith Wigglesworth say something negative about a person, about a minister, or about any human. You can't find it. If you come to him with it, he will change the topic. He will look for something good to say about the person. That is scripture. He said, the beauty of Israel is slain. The beauty of Israel. The beauty of Israel. The beauty of Israel. A man that God had rejected. The beauty of Israel, because he was once anointed. Let me tell you, once anointed, eternally anointed. Eternally. The person may lose his influence with God because of habits, because of operations, and things that people do. But in your own eyes, they are eternally what? Anointed. Eternally. How did Ryan Bonke catch his functional anointing? It was George Jeffries now. He had that issue, scandal, abandoned to die. The British evangelist. Then one day, Bonke was meandering from Bible school in England, and saw, in those days, the right people's names on the street. He saw Jeffries, the Jeffrey brothers. I think it should be John Jeffries. Yes, George Jeffries. I said, is this Jeffries that I know? And he went in. And he met a nurse. Say, is this the house of the evangelist? Say, yes. Say, can I see him? Say, no. As he was talking, the old man turned that from upside. He said, let the young man come in. And he knelt down and prayed for him. About 2 weeks later, he passed. But somebody has gotten the anointing. Someone who understands value. A faithful man has gotten the anointing. Put the scripture up. How are the mighty fallen? He says, say it not in Gath. Publish it not in Ashkelon. He said, lest the sons, the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Hallelujah. O mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew upon you. He began to curse the mountain. He said, for there the shield of the mighty is cast away. The shield of Saul. Hallelujah. As though he was not anointed with oil. That's what King James says. Next verse. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Saul did not return empty. 23. Look at this. He says, Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives. Saul was pleasant in his life. And pleasant. Pleasant. That is a faithful man. A faithful person is a loyal person. A faithful person is a committed person. A faithful person defends God's institution of the anointed. I was talking about faithfulness a little, and my time is up. Faithfulness, steadfastness in allegiance. You are not easily, you see, when you see people who are vacillating, you see people who discredit people easily, who abandon people easily, you are seeing people who can really never go far. If you're a friend, be a loyal friend. Are you with me? Be a loyal person. Don't be a judgmental person. Put others first. Again, it's characteristic of David. Be the peacemaker. Be the loyal guy. Be someone who is dependable. Don't look at what they can give to you. Think of what you can give to them. Be a faithful person. Be a loyal person. There's a beauty in loyalty. There's a beauty in faithfulness. Who have you stuck with for long? Or everybody is faulty? Are you with me? Can you see treasure in trash? Can you see something big in something that is small? He says, he that is faithful in little is also faithful in much. Let me show you a scripture. And maybe we'll stop there. Luke 19, 17. Very quickly. Luke 19, 17. Steadfast affection and allegiance. Be a committed person. Yes, you will get bored, yet you will stay. You get offended, you deal with your offense and stay. Glory to God. Why should a man look at his wife and say, I'm going away? Going away to where? I'm going away to where? I'm tired, I'm going away. Going away to where? You look at your children and leave them. Hallelujah. You know, early days of ministry, I used to get hot when people treat me, you know, pastor receive things, oh, pastors receive things. Hope you are aware. Someone come and say, to the ends of the earth. We are going seven seas, seven mountains. We are crossing south. We are with you to the ends of this gospel, to the ends of the earth. And then have the slightest things. You see, it's not that people left. It's the things they do. So initially, I used to feel bad, get hot. And then, God started teaching me some things. Yes, God started teaching me some things. You see, the character, faithfulness and loyalty is something that doesn't hide. You know, I started thinking, everybody who has been a part of my spiritual journey, For from the 90s, amen, major part of my journey, I still have a relationship with them till now. Yes. Till now. So I used to wonder, how come a pastor who contributed to your growth because of something a member of church did, not him. A member, if he did it, maybe you can understand. A member of church did. He has become an evil person. That means there's something wrong with your character as a person. And it will end there. You repeat it where you're going. Because loyalty is just of the heart. There's a way you don't treat people. There's a way you don't treat people. There was a time a group of people left church and I didn't do anything. Amen. Honestly, I didn't do anything. And I was the one reaching out. At the point, I stopped. I noticed one of them for a leader for 2 years. At that time, never sent SMS or called. I was one say, oh, how you people doing? And all that. Amen. At the point, said, my line was blocked. Like, I say, is it Christianity people are doing that? Is that Christianity? Number one, I didn't do anything to you. I got you born again. I got you filled with the Holy Ghost. I raised you as a leader. And then you met a prophet who is now Alpha and Omega. Amen. Are you with me? Now, why am I saying this? It has to do with people's heart of loyalty and allegiance. They have things you can't do. Yes, you don't need to be my spiritual father anymore. But your honor will never diminish. You never look for your honor with me. Never. Oh, that you're a part of my journey. You never look for your honor. Never. I may not be answerable to you anymore. That's fine. Because of growth, that's fine. But you'll never look for your honor with me. Never. It's not possible. Loyalty. There are people who abandon people who help them on the way. You are not a faithful person. And there's a ceiling. There's a level that kind of person can never go. Those who help you to rise. You are doing social class for them. You can. God sees it. God sees it. And listen. If love rules your heart, there is a sense of class that you never have. Yes. You can be the richest man in the world, but you don't care. You can mingle with the least of humans. Are you with me? I've told you before that there's a dimension to this class behavior that is ungodly, unchristianly, unscriptural, and doesn't belong in the kingdom. It doesn't. Yes. Are you aware that Christianity is to provide social buffer for people? Yes. A balance. I mean, maybe all the people you see are millionaires. Christianity should make you interface with the people on the other side. Glory to God. Are you blessed this morning? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. That's what God sees. You see, Joel Osteen had never preached a sermon. He was a cameraman. He was in media department. When Joel Osteen was about to die, he was pastoring a church of 6,000 members. Lakewood Church is about 6,000 members. The Lord said the next pastor is going to be Joel, not any of the associates. He had never preached. He was preaching his first sermon while his father was on his sick bed. And he took over the church and bled to 40,000 members. How? God sees faithfulness. He was a faithful cameraman. No, you didn't hear what I said. A church of 6,000. Do you know what that means? That's like times five of a Tamarad Event Center. That's a small church. Then you bring a young man who has never preached before. Are you sure he will make it? In the kingdom, there are no inferior roles. God honors faithfulness. You see, I tell young people, never drag mic and stage when you're part of the local church. It doesn't matter if you had a dream and you saw yourself before stadium preaching. Follow God's path. And God's path is faithfulness in service. Faithfulness in that which is little. Faithfulness in money. Faithfulness in that which is another man. A cameraman became the lead pastor of a 6,000 member church and blew to 40,000 members. He blew it. You see, if you lose sight, like I told you earlier, I never seen this church as a small church. I never spoken ill of this church or the members of this church to anybody living or dead. Never. Never. Faithfulness in little. Oh, glory to God. Faithfulness in little. That less than 70 member I talked about earlier, there were 98% students. But somebody come and they say, do you have old people coming to your church now? No, Adibu said, do you have adults? Yes, something very embarrassing. I said, what's the vision of an adult? He's 18. He's 18. So we are all adults in our church. Amen. You know, Reverend Akila's talk that day encouraged me. And I'm glad he said that. Faithfulness. You are not faithful with students. You see, senators and commissioners you are looking for. You are looking for captains of industry. I don't have anything to tell you. Amen. You see, I read a book about Facebook. The title of the book is Facebook. And I noticed that most of the ideas... Okay, Facebook as an idea exploded among college students and high school students. It's to tell you that if you are faithful in little, you're also faithful in much. It's the same principle. It's the same principle. You see, revolutionary ideas will tell you that they started feeding young people. Yes, they started working with younger people. You see, the missionary movement that brought Christianity to Africa was pioneered mostly by young people in their 20s. They were the missionaries who came to the shores of West Africa, East Africa, Southern Africa. Are you with me? Faithfulness in little. Faithfulness in little. Hallelujah. Put up that 19 for me. Yes, that's 1917. Just put it there. Faithfulness in little. Be faithful with money. Let me just say this. From the one of this ministry, we have never missed tithing on any tithable income. Never. Never. Faithfulness in little. And by the way, I've had a Sunday income of 5,600 before. I'll never forget. The whole title of it was 5,600. And our rent, therefore, the space we were using was 10,000 per use for Sunday. 5,000 for chairs. Sound was 12,000, I believe. Around, I know total budget was about 27,000 or so. And then the income that day, you know, when you start church, after collecting tithe and offering, you separate tithe and set to people. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, we were there. Okay, we're there, but we're giving a tithe. We're sowing to the anointed. We're giving to the needy. Faithfulness with money. Many believers are not faithful with money. The first thing to do to money is not to spend. That's not the first. You don't spend money, you spend profit. You spend profit. Amen. So somebody just wired 200k to your account. It's not to buy your Japanese hair. Is it Japanese or Brazilian hair? No. First, tithe. Savings. Arrange your percentage before you can spend. In fact, if that's the first kind of money you are having, it should be first fruit. Can I get an amen? You heard me. It should be first fruit. The first 1 million I got, I gave it to the prophet. I was saying to Maurice, I said, after them, 1 million naira began to look like paper. Normal. Normal. Very normal. Are you here? Yes, what I did is called faithfulness with mammon. That's what I did. So when you tithe, it's faithfulness with money. When you manage the money well, it's faithfulness with money. When you give your first fruit, it's faithfulness with money. When you give to God's house, it's faithfulness with money. You see, money is both a tool and a test. I said, God will test you with little. You test you with the anointed. You test you with money. And you test you with that which is another man. Never handle anything carelessly because it's not your own. It's the fastest way to shut the heavens over you. Never do it. Because the car is not yours and you don't maintain it. You are driving it like a mad person. Like a mad person. Are you here? Car will be far away from you. And you have said, like, I'm not even maintaining it. You don't need to say it. Your attitude shows it. Amen. If the car is not yours, handle it with care. You see, anything you hold, handle it like you're the one maintaining it. And even if you're a wife, don't say it's my husband that will maintain it. That's foolishness. You drive it with care. You handle it like it's yours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, well, he's serving in church. God has told him to start his own church. So he just he's just learning. So I'm just in this place to learn. Yes. So he's partial contact. I don't even have anything to tell you in this service. Maybe another service. The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do what? Do with the whole of your heart. The whole and everything. The same thing with business. Run your boss's business like it's your own. Never, nothing should spoil in your hand. No, nothing should spoil in your hand. Let's read the scripture and close. Glory to God. See, I'm blessed. All right. And he said unto him, well done, good, good servant. He said, because you were faithful in a very little. Have authority over 10 cities. Pause. This blows anybody's mind. Now, if you read, it was 10 pounds he gave them to manage. 10 pounds. Glory to God. 10, is that up to 100K? Let's just do it literally. How much is today's pounds? Let's say 1,000. That's 10,000 now. Amen. Talk to me, somebody. That should be 10K. Conservative estimation. Yes. This God saying, Kai, you managed 10K well. Come and be governor of Lagos State. You know why? In the Father's mind, there's no difference. That's why I told you, your faithfulness in little, your faithfulness with money, your faithfulness with that which is another man, is just a test for the big things. It's a preparation for the big things. Joseph woke up in the dungeon, became a prime minister the same day. That means everything you're looking for can come in one day. But God has to prepare you for the things. And that test is faithfulness. You are not complaining. You are not foolish with it. You are prudent. You are wise. He said, come and be ruler over 10 cities. Come 10 pounds with 10 cities. This is how promotion comes. Listen to me. That means if the big things have not come yet, the problem is you are not yet expedient in managing 10 pounds. It's the harsh truth. You go back to managing the 10 pounds. What am I doing with my current level that shows that I'm a faithful man, I'm a loyal man, I'm a prudent person, I'm a committed person? I'm not just looking at myself, I'm looking at the big picture. I'm treating others well. Hallelujah. What's going on around me in this season? Faithfulness. 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 I used to do weekend retreats. I'll fast and pray from Thursday to Sunday to come and preach to 60 people. Are you with me? And they will be blessed. A lot of them are not here anymore because they're mostly students that graduated. They will be blessed. They will jump. They will. They were blessed. And most of them are grateful today. Faithfulness. If you are faithful with 10, he'll give you 100. If you are faithful with 100, he'll give you 1,000. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. If you are faithful with 1 million naira, he'll give you 10 million. He'll give you 100 million. Faithfulness. By Bible standard, rise to your feet. Are you blessed?
Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. Can you do a quick prayer? Lord, I am faithful.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.